Gambling, this is NHPR News. It's 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Closing the so-called wage gap between men and women is the focus of a new bill in the New Hampshire legislature, an attempt to address the fact that women make 77 cents for every dollar men make. Although it's already against Granite State law to pay equally qualified men and women differently, the bill's sponsor, Democratic Senator Sylvia Larson, proposes further steps she says would ensure those rules are followed. However, whether Larson's Senate colleagues will go along is unclear. Many have said they don't see a need for this, given current protections. But beyond that, there's long been a kind of ambivalence and uncertainty about why women make less than men. Some believe it's the choices women make to work fewer hours or pick less lucrative careers. Some believe it's subtle discrimination on the part of bosses who just don't perceive women as committed to the job as men. And some say women themselves play a part because they don't negotiate hard enough for a fatter paycheck. This hour in The Exchange, we gauge the wage gap and let's hear from you. What's your own experience? How much do you see these pay differentials? And if they exist in your workplace, why do you think that's the case? Give us a call. The Exchange number 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. All one word. With me in studio is Senator Sylvia Larson. She's the Democratic Minority Leader, also a longtime state senator from Concord. And Senator Larson, welcome back. Nice to see you.
Good morning, Laura. Thanks for having me.
Also with us, Gemma Waite French. She's a member of the board of the New Hampshire Women's Initiative, which has been looking at this issue. And Gemma, it's nice to meet you. Thank you for your time as well.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we dig into what this bill attempts to do and so forth, how big is it, Senator Larson, this wage gap? You wrote a piece about this recently, looking at your son and daughter.
Well, it's true. I have a son and daughter, and the evidence is that if they had attended the exact same school and they graduated the same year, my son, graduating, say, with a business degree, would have made $45,000, and my daughter, with the same degree, would have made $38,000 as she came out and applied at the same industry. So there's very clear evidence that there is discrimination in pay, and it's not based on children or child care issues. It's based on gender. So what we're trying to do is make it very clear in the bill I've introduced that there needs to be pay equality and the steps to take if you don't feel or if you need to find out whether you're being paid equally as a woman.
It's really interesting because I have heard that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that when young people, you know, get out of college or high school and get into the workplace, their pay tends to be the same, and then the gap appears as women, you know, have families, make different career choices. But you're saying your son and daughter, right out of college, same degree, same GPA, just for
correct. All of that,
would make $7,000 different.
Correct. And, of course, that builds up over the years and becomes something like $11,000 on an average wage here in New Hampshire. So that $11,000 that my daughter's not making, that my son is making, adds up, and then it adds up into their retirement at the end of their work career.
Well, and Jim, I want to get to you in just a second, but Senator Larson, where do those numbers come from?
The American Association of University Women did a study regarding the wage gap, and they found this to be very true. And they did enough data analysis that I think people accept it as valid and accurate.
Gemma Waite French, I want to bring you into this too. Again, you're with the New Hampshire Women's Initiative, and you folks have been looking into this as well. What have you found about the wage gap?
Well, we're a fairly new organization. We were founded in 2011, and we are the merger of three former New Hampshire women's organizations, the New Hampshire Commission on the Status of Women, the Women's Lobbying Alliance, and the Women's Policy Institute. And when we were merged in 2011, we were looking at the conversation around gender equality, and we wanted to collect some information from New Hampshire residents about what were the issues around gender that are top of mind in today's society. So we don't have the statistical data that Senator Larson is referring to, but what we actually did is we went out and conducted 30 listening sessions throughout the state of New Hampshire in all regions with all age groups. We had men and women ages 17 to 87 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, it was incredible. The dialogue was incredible. And these were small groups of people that came together, 8 or 10 people in a room. They were anonymous. We collected this information. We had a conversation around gender equality. And time after time, the topic that came to the top was the wage gap. And so what we learned through holding these listening sessions is that this is still an issue in New Hampshire. It is an issue for both men and women. And so following those listening sessions, then last fall in 2013, we held another round of listening sessions with specific groups of people. So we brought business leaders together. We brought people from STEM fields. We brought people from HR. We brought legislators together. And we did the same exact thing. We had these listening sessions and we talked about the issue of the wage gap. And while we don't have the, we haven't gone out and collected statistical information, we have the information from the U.S. Census Bureau and some of the studies that Senator Larson has talked about. But we heard from real people that this is an issue that still exists today.
Yeah. Well, all of you, this got a lot of attention when President Obama talked about that 77 cents. And we've heard that number a lot. Gemma, what is it in New Hampshire? Is it 77 cents to the dollar in New Hampshire?
It is. It's 77 cents in New Hampshire. And as Senator Larson mentioned, imagine that amount of money over a lifetime and what that can do to a family or what that can do to an individual. So you're losing out, you know, in terms of housing, in terms of educational attainment, food security. And then it affects your children and your spouse and the rest of your family. So, yeah, we found it is 77 cents here in New Hampshire. Nationally, I believe it's 82 cents, so it's a little bit higher. But, yeah, those are the numbers that we've seemed to come across.
Senator Larson, after President Obama had his speech, there was a lot of pushback on this. The Washington Post said, stop talking about this, Obama, basically, that the 77 cents isn't really relevant, that you really should be looking at two people doing the same work, two accountants with the same experience, one male, one female, hired on the same day at the same company, and that those numbers are really hard to get at. So there's been a lot of pushback to this 77 cents number.
Well, one of the reasons that the numbers are hard to get at is because there are, in many workplace scenarios, either a contract or an understanding with employer or employee that you don't talk about your salary. So Senate Bill 207 allows for people to talk about their salaries and prohibits a contract that stops you from comparing your salary with someone else. I can speak to a state representative right here in Concord who successfully had a wage inequality case decided in the insurance industry. She was doing the same job as the man beside her, and she happened to find out. But many, many women, including Lily Ledbetter, who's the one everyone knows the name, many women do not know what their colleague is making right in the desk beside them. And clearly you need to spell out experience, education levels, qualifications for the job that are perhaps different. But when you do that, you still see a wage gap. And as I say, right here in Concord, one of our state representatives successfully proved that she was being paid unequally. And we've gotten emails from people around the state.
Your bill, Senate
they don't
bill.
Always take it right up to the court. They negotiate it.
Your bill would do a couple of things, Senator Larson. One, allow people to say, hey, this is how much I make. How much do you make?
Correct.
What else would it do to attempt to address this issue?
Well, it ends up, it clears what is the definition of equal pay. We passed that definition 13 years ago, but if you were to read it, there's some really large loopholes in it, so that it clears up some of the definitions of when you can have a pay differential, and that it clears up that it cannot stem purely from gender. It prohibits retaliation against a worker who talks about their wages. It allows workers to discuss their salaries without fear of losing their jobs. And it allows, if there's a finding, up to 4 years back pay if discrimination is found either by the courts, the Department of Labor.
A number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. That's Senator Sylvia Larson, a Democrat from Concord, talking about a bill that she has that she says would address the wage gap between men and women. Gemma Waite French is also with us, member of the board for the New Hampshire Women's Initiative. Give us a call. We'd love your thoughts, questions, comments about this wage gap, whether you see it in your own workplace or not. And if so, what do you think is behind it? Is it discrimination? Is it the different choices that women make and the career paths that they pick that may be different from men? Let's hear from you. 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. That's all one word. Again, 1-800-892-6477. I want to ask both of you about, again, the so-called pay gap for women without children. And Gemma, I have seen research, and boy, there's a lot of differing research on this issue, that for women without kids, there really isn't a pay gap. I wonder what you have seen.
Well, I've seen the 77 cents, and back to the numbers, where we get our information from is from the New Hampshire Center for Public Policy Studies and the 2011 Bureau of Labor study that was done on the wage gap. And so that's where the 77 cents comes from. And you mentioned earlier, you know, there's, you know, people go into different careers, people leave the workforce and have children. All of these are factors in the wage gap. But what we look at is two people, a man and a woman, in the same exact career with the same educational attainment, and that's where that 77 cents wage gap exists. There are a number of other studies about, you know, women coming into the workforce at they're young, you know, when they're 20, 24, then the wage gap's only 93%. And yeah, there's all different kinds of numbers that come into this. But what we, but the important part of this is that there is a wage gap. It's not 100%. It's not equal. So whether the number is 77 cents, 82 cents, 95 cents, whatever it might be, it's never 100%.
All right. So don't get so hooked on the 77 cent number, but just accept the fact that there is a differential, even if it's same woman, same experience, same career choice.
Exactly.
All right. We will start taking your calls, questions, comments after a short break. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange, all one word. And in just a moment, we'll talk to a New Hampshire economist who has really dug into these numbers. More of that, and we'll hear from you. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio, 919. Good morning. Want to know what's going on this week at NHPR? Well, we have an easy way for you to find out when you sign up for our e-newsletter this week at NHPR. You'll find out what the exchange, word of mouth, and our newsroom are planning for the week, and also get a behind-the-scenes look at the station. Click on the Connect menu to sign up for our e-newsletter at nhpr.org. More on waging the wage gap on the exchange, and at 10 o'clock on the Diane Rehm Show, the State Department's report on the Keystone XL pipeline. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from J. Schwartz Design, architects and interior designers, partnering with clients to create comfortable, functional, and joyful living spaces, jschwartzdesign.net. And Sunapee Cove Assisted Living on Lake Sunapee and George's Mills, chef-prepared meals and engaging activities in a lakeside atmosphere that celebrates life. Models open daily, sunapeecove.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're talking about what many call the gender pay gap. President Obama addressed it in his State of the Union speech. There's a bill in the New Hampshire legislature also focused on this. We'd like to hear from you this hour, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page if you'd like, NHPR Exchange, all one word. With me in studio, Sylvia Larson, Democratic Senate Minority Leader, longtime state senator from Concord. She's the lead sponsor of the bill we're talking about. Also with us, Gemma Waite French, member of the board for the New Hampshire Women's Initiative. With us now on the phone is Brian Gottlob, principal of Polycon Research, a firm with a focus on economic and public policy issues. And Brian, for the purposes of our conversation today, we should also say you're the father of two daughters. Is that right?
Actually, three daughters.
Three daughters. So yeah. Even more of an interest. And you looked at these numbers, Brian, as both an economist and a dad. What did you find?
Well, I looked at him with a lot of trepidation because if I came to the wrong conclusion, I was going to have real trouble in my household. what I found was that, in fact, I was a little bit troubled by the 77% as well wage gap. And the real issue is, how do you compare identical individuals and in terms of their compensation? You need to know whether they've got the exact same education, exact same degrees, they're the same age, they're working in the same job. So I actually made an effort to do that and took a look at one field in particular, accounting, and those with accounting degrees. And when I looked at this national data, over 5,000 accountants with accounting degrees, the numbers look a lot different. Basically, an awful lot of that 77% can be explained as a result of choices. Women work fewer hours at all age levels. They tend to work even less when they have children, and that causes some of the wage gap. But the real troubling thing for me, and I think this is really puts the issue into perspective, is that when you look at the upper earnings brackets, those who are earning at near the top, that's where you really see a lot of the wage gap apparent. And it's a function of many things. The fact that over time, women are less likely maybe to get promoted, or because they've chosen to step out of the labor force because of children, etc. Those wage gaps almost always are 2 to 3 times larger at the top. And to me, what that says is that what we're looking at is as much a glass ceiling effect as a true difference in the compensation of identical individuals.
You know, you said that a lot of the wage gap can be explained by choices, that women work less hours when they have kids. But even when they don't have kids, they work less hours?
Yeah, that was really surprising to me. I expected that women, unfortunately, are still, asked to do much more of the child care duties in this country. But when you look at women and men who don't have kids at all age levels, women still work fewer hours. And I think that's, when I think about it, I'm not a sociologist, Laura, but men are so much more identified with their job and with their career. It really is such a core part of their identity that I think it's much easier for them to get wrapped up in their work. And, this data, for one occupation again, certainly bears that out.
Well, and even for women who don't have kids, we do hear about women being called upon to take care of aging parents. I know that's out there as well.
When I wrote about this, people pointed that out to me, and that was a big oversight on my part because my family, we've dealt with that as well. But also other kind of less visible types of differences, mentoring relationships in the workplace, which I think are more likely to occur, appear to be more likely to occur among men. The guidance that individuals need in order to progress in their occupation, in their organizations. I don't think it's unique or to these findings that women are somewhat less likely to progress as rapidly in organizations. Certainly there's fewer at the top. And when I look at this issue, I think, wow, it's going to be very difficult to legislate any more than we already have on this discrimination issue, but we certainly can come up with ways to help women achieve higher levels of in organizations and progress faster.
Well, it's interesting, and I'm curious about, again, talking about your daughters, Brian, how do younger women perceive this issue? I mean, we've been talking about this for a long time. I wonder how younger women just entering the workforce feel about this today.
Yeah, it's interesting because I have talked to my daughters about this, and I don't think they feel as though they're at a disadvantage out of college. I've not heard them say that they felt as though there was a difference coming out of college. I do think that they recognize that in terms of promotions, in terms of progressing, they don't see the kinds of as many role models in higher level positions that perhaps if I had sons, they would see. So I don't think at all that they feel as though they're at a disadvantage having been recent graduates, a couple of them coming out of college. But, they certainly have mentioned that in organizations. They don't see women in the positions that can help other women advance as rapidly as men.
Well, and one more question for you, Brian, please, because, again, you're our number cruncher guy. So we started off talking about the 77 cents, and you said a lot of that can be explained by, you know, choices, caregiving, the career you pick, and so on.
Yeah.
How much is sort of that mysterious leftover? We're not really sure.
Yeah, well, and the data that I've looked at, it was somewhere in the order of under 7 or 8%, and I actually checked after having done this research. I looked a lot at other research, and that seems to be kind of the consensus. There still is a gap, and that's troubling. There still is a gap. It's probably somewhere in the order of 4 to 7%, but even that, Laura, doesn't say that there's discrimination. You know, some of my research showed that as women progress in their careers, as they get older, they're earnings don't grow as rapidly. Now, some of this could be the fact that they're not getting the promotions. Some of it could be that they're not as aggressive in asking for raises. For whatever reason, there is a gap. It is troubling, but it doesn't suggest or doesn't clearly indicate that there's necessarily discrimination.
Okay. Well, and we'll be talking to you tomorrow, Brian, about the New Hampshire economy, right? So we'll see you then.
See you then.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's Brian Gottlob, principal at Polycon Research, a firm with a focus on economic and public policy issues. Again, a little while back, he crunched the numbers on the so-called wage gap here in New Hampshire. Join us with your questions and comments on this at 1-800-892-6477. Do you think we still have a wage gap between men and women these days or not? If so, how do you think this should be addressed? If not, why do you think we're still talking about this? 1-800-892-6477 is the number. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange, all one word. And Senator Larson and Gemma Waite French, I want to go to our listeners, but I did want to first pick up on what Brian said, because we haven't talked about this yet. Gemma, I'll turn to you first. Brian said, there is some discussion that women don't negotiate for higher pay as aggressively as men, that they don't push as hard for those leadership positions. You know, Sheryl Sandberg's book, Lean In, you know, that's where she's coming from. She's saying, you know, look, women, part of this has to do with you. You're not advocating hard enough for yourself. And that's why women sometimes tend to make less. What do you think?
Well, I think that's part of it. And I think there is some truth to that. And we actually heard that through our listening sessions that we conducted. Women told us that they didn't even consider negotiating when they were offered the job. They told us that they have the lack of ability to negotiate effectively. So we're looking at ways that we can mentor women and train women to develop those negotiating skills so that when they receive the job offer, they're not just apt to take what the, you know, comes along at the first offer. The other thing they told us was that many of them said that they wished they had a mentor, that they had a woman in a leadership role who could mentor them and teach them about moving through the ranks of their company or, you know, through that particular industry. So, yes, I will agree. There is one particular component that is negotiation skills. Women do leave the workforce to have children. But I think the point that Brian made is still so resounding. There's still that 7 to 8% or whatever we want to say the numbers are. There is a gap. So I think better collection of data and however we can close the gap is what we need to be working towards.
What do you say to women about this whole lean-in idea? I know it's very controversial, Senator Larson, but this idea that if there's a pay gap, part of it, however big or small a chunk, is due to the fact that women aren't asking.
Well, it's difficult to ask if you don't know there's a disparity. So the law that I'm proposing says you're allowed to know pay scales in the business you're working in the environment you're working in. You cannot be prohibited from talking about your wages with your colleagues. That alone, the awareness will help people. You can't negotiate if you don't know comparative structure of pay scale in like working colleagues. So that makes it difficult. The other thing that I didn't say earlier is the bill that I have actually requires employers to post their rights of people to know their pay and where to go if you feel you've been discriminated against. So even just posting the awareness of rights, it's not on the Department of Labor website in any obvious way right now. And things like that, just the awareness will, I think, increase negotiation power and collegiality. Maybe if people see enough disparity and are aware of it, you end up with mentors of sympathetic female colleagues mentoring each other.
Speaking of collegiality, this is a little off the wage gap, but I am wondering, Senator Larson, if there's some pushback among employers that knowing how much he makes, she makes, you might actually breed resentment among colleagues. Like, why is he making $2,000 more than me? And why is she making $3,000 more than me? And
well, I'm sure that's
I'm
why
there's some nervousness about that.
I'm sure there is. And I'm sure that's why there have been contracts that say you cannot talk about your wages. But when it comes down to pay inequality, it's worth that to even up. It's good for our economy to have women paid equally. It's good for the 40% of women who are single moms supporting children. 60% of more than 60% of all women in our state are working, and so they're trying to supplant. Women pay the same grocery bills, the same student loans, the same rent. You don't get a break if you're a woman and even you're making 77 cents on and your colleague's making that dollar. So.
It's
good for our economy to even these out. And the best way to even it out is to increase awareness.
Let's see what our listeners think. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange, all one word. Let's go to the phones first. John's waiting in Colebrook. Hi, John. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Good morning, Laura.
Morning.
I'm guilty. You know, I have to plead guilty to being a sexist and discriminating in the workplace.
Uh-oh.
So drag me away. I'm a filthy capitalist pig.
What have you done, John?
Well, I've made the mistake of actually paying women more in the workplace, in my shops at least. And I think more for the same job. And I think that there are people out there that the sort of coarse filter that produces the figures will not find a catch. I think small businesses are about two-thirds of employment in this country. And I suspect that there are a lot of stories that don't see the light of day because they just won't get talked about. But I can tell you this. I ran three newspapers and a big web newspaper press, and I had, you know, a lot of people working for me. Two-thirds of them were women. And those two-thirds advanced much faster than the guys around because, hey, guess what? Women inherently seem to be better at graphic arts, and you'll hear this all over the place. Secondly, the highest paid person in my shops was my front office woman, who was amazing. And I love this about women. Women are always saying this, so I'm going to say it back. That she could multitask unbelievably. So I really don't trust the figures. I mean, there are all kinds of these little quirks that make a difference. I can tell you this. You know, I never promoted or demoted on the basis of sex. That would be counterproductive. Then I could not be a filthy capitalist pig. hopefully cashing in on my career at you know, exploiting women. It just didn't happen. Now it may happen in other places. I suspect the bigger the workplace, the more those things are apt to happen.
Well, John, let's talk about this. And this is a really interesting story. It's great to hear from you. What do you think, Gemma? This gets to the whole problem. I mean, there's so many stories that we're going to hear where people say, no, I don't see this. Or, gee, it kind of depends on each individual and how hard he or she works, how well he or she does their job.
Well, I think the fact that
there's a lot of skepticism. That's what I'm trying to say.
There is a lot of skepticism, but I think the fact that we're here in your studio talking about this speaks to the fact that this is an issue. This is still out there. There is a discrepancy, and maybe we don't have the best statistical information. We don't have the best data, but yeah, we need to start collecting that information, as Senator Larson mentioned earlier, because how can we know the facts if we don't have all of the information? We have the best numbers to go on. And what we're seeing, as Brian just said earlier, is he's an economist and he crunched the numbers and he looked at all the data and he's saying there's this, 4-7% wage
gap.
A
lot smaller than the famous 77 cents,
right,
but still.
But even so, a small wage gap is a wage gap. It's not 100%. You're still not making the dollar that your male coworker is making. And yes, there are women who don't know how to negotiate. There are women who leave the workforce to have children. You know, there are all these factors, but the fact remains, it's not it's not equal pay for equal work.
Here's an email, excuse me, a Facebook comment that came in from Craig a little bit ago. Craig says, my wife is a licensed professional engineer who makes 120% of my salary. We have two children. Not all women make less. So, Senator Larson, that's kind of similar to what John was saying. You know, kind of depends.
Well, it does depend. And the real question is, does if his wife, who's an engineer, and she's working beside an equally trained engineer doing the same job, does she know if she's getting paid as much as he? And the evidence is probably not. We heard about the glass ceiling from Mr. Gottlieb in terms of the economy and his analysis. Clearly, the glass ceiling exists, and I suspect in a small business, perhaps you get better interpersonal relations, and I wouldn't be surprised if the larger the company, the greater the pay inequality, and particularly as salaries increase. We were hearing, you know, that it was the women through Mr. Gottlieb had fewer promotions and progression through their jobs, perhaps, and that glass ceiling effect is truly there. But the only way you know if you're not breaking through the glass ceiling is to know that you're getting paid equally and you have a shot at moving up so that you can get to the top of that glass ceiling and be looking through the glass to blue sky ahead.
Let's take another call. This is Kate in Putney, Vermont. Hi, Kate. Go ahead. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. I'm calling in reference to something that was mentioned a few minutes ago about, I believe it was said that people were signing contracts saying that they could not compare wages. And my understanding is that there's a federal law that you cannot tell workers that they can't compare wages or tell other people their wages.
So,
And I'll take my response off the air because I'm on a cell phone.
Okay, I appreciate that. Kate, Senator Larson, that refers to your bill. Is it against federal law to also discuss, wages among employees? Or can that be done state by state?
I am not aware if that's the case. Lilly Ledbetter certainly didn't know, and she was 10 years out until she figured it out. So I'm not aware that there's a federal law, but I will go back and look that up. Certainly if it is, sometimes it helps to have it reiterated in state law so that it's enforced.
All right. Kate, thank you very much for calling. And coming up, more conversation, including a voice from a Washington think tank on this issue of the gender pay gap. We'll also take your calls and emails at 1-800-892-6477. If you're on the line, stay there. You can email us at exchange@nhpr.org. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio, 939. Good morning. Coming up at 10 on The Diane Rehm Show, the State Department's report on the Keystone XL pipeline.
On February 5th, Governor Maggie Hassan takes stock of her first year in office and lays out her plans for year two with her State of the State address. This is Laura Kanoy. Join me and NHPR's senior political reporter Josh Rogers for live coverage of the address. We'll hear the governor's remarks, reaction to the speech from lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, and what voters are saying on social media. State of the State address coverage begins Wednesday at 10 a.m. on NHPR and NHPR.org.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Republic, New Hampshire's original certified local farm-to-table restaurant. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, Helm Street, Manchester, online at republiccafe.com. And Concord Regional Visiting Nurse Association, offering Helpful Hands, Healing Hearts, a bereavement program for children and their families on March 22nd in Concord. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're talking about what's been called the wage gap between men and women, the pay differential that President Obama mentioned in his State of the Union address, and we've been breaking down the numbers here in New Hampshire. Join us with your questions, comments, personal experiences on this issue, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. all one word. With me in studio is State Senator Sylvia Larson. She's a Democrat from Concord. Also, Gemma Waite French, member of the board of the New Hampshire Women's Initiative. Joining us now from D.C. is Gail Trotter, General Counsel for the Independent Women's Forum, a research and educational institution dedicated to expanding the conservative coalition. Gail is also co-founder of Schaefer and Trotter, a law firm that advises entrepreneurs and small business. And Gail Trotter, it's great to have you back on The Exchange. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much for having me back.
Well, what was your first gut reaction, Gail, when you heard the president mention this in his State of the Union address?
It was really a gut punch because, as you mentioned about what I do, I represent a lot of businesses. So a lot of my clients are female entrepreneurs, women business owners. And when the president announces this 77-cent wage gap, he's really poisoning the discussion between men and women in the workplace. And when we look at the proposals to have the government add on more regulations to businesses, it really creates these hobbling effects on businesses, so many of which are owned by women in the first place. And that is the opposite direction that we need to go in. And when President Obama mentioned this figure in his State of the Union, it's really misleading because we know that it's not that much of a difference. It really, when you look at all of the factors on it, as you've already discussed on the show, it narrows to approximately 5 cents on the dollar. And to have this big, heavy hand, this blunt instrument to go in and affect small businesses and medium-sized businesses, it is the wrong direction to take this issue and to try and correct it.
Yeah, we've been crunching the numbers all hour and trying to figure out how big or how small it is. But, Gail, you seem to be saying there's at least a small wage gap there somewhere.
It's not clear.
It's not clear.
But at the most, it's 5%. And when you look at the, for example, if you look at the 10 most successful types of careers that pay the most, out of the top 10, which have things like petroleum engineering, mathematics and computer science, chemical engineering, of those top 10 most monetarily rewarded professions, overwhelmingly the practitioners of that are male. And if you look at the 10 least remunerative majors, out of 9 out of 10 of them, women are the preponderance of the practitioners of those careers. And if you look at the majors from colleges, that explains a lot of that difference. So for the president to go out in his address to the entire nation to say this discredited number of 77 cents does not add to the public discourse, and it's really false and misleading. And he has a responsibility when he goes and speaks to the American public to speak honestly and to tell what the true issues are that we're facing.
Yeah, and I've got those numbers in front of me, too. So I'm glad you mentioned them from the Georgetown University Center on Education and the Workforce, that men gravitate towards these lucrative careers like, you know, electrical engineering and aerospace engineering, and women seem to, according to these numbers, gravitate towards less well-paying work, drama and theater arts, early childhood education, and so forth. So you're saying it's largely about career choices that that women make, Gail?
It's what types of careers that they're interested in, and to say that women shouldn't be choosing those careers is really demeaning of the choices that women make of what's rewarding. No one's saying that women can't be a petroleum engineer. No one's saying that women can't work in these remunerative things, and there are plenty of women working in these types of careers. But women make choices, and we as Americans should be very proud and happy of where we are as a society, that women can make the choices to do the types of careers that they want to do. And money is not happiness. And when we look at the opportunities that women have, they tend to choose the more caring professions. And men, on the other hand, tend to choose the types of careers that are not as populated by people. And that's a good thing. We want women to have choices. And when we look at the millions of dollars that our federal government has invested in trying to get women to go against what choices they want, what they see as valuable, and enter the STEM, science, technology, engineering, mathematics type professions, it's really trying to put women in a box and saying that you should only be making these decisions based on money instead of what is rewarding and valuable to you.
We have heard, though, and boy, we've crunched a lot of numbers this hour, but we have heard, Gail, about some figures that say, okay, granted, different careers make different salaries, but we have heard about you know, two people, a man and a woman, just fresh out of college, choosing the same career, same degree, and so forth. And there is still a pay gap there. Big or small, there still seems to be, at times, a pay gap there. I wonder what you think about those studies that show, you know, accountant A, Jane, and accountant B, Joe, making a little bit of different salary.
Well, it's really easy for academics who look at these situations and conduct these studies to not understand the business place. And as I said, I advise a lot of entrepreneurs and small business owners. And to take two people and say that they should have exactly the same compensation belies the fact that you look at a totality of circumstances in setting compensation for employees. So, for example, how long has employee A been at that career and in that position with that company? That affects how much compensation that employee is entitled to. Also, you look out at time out. A lot of women prefer to take time off in order to care for children, elderly people, or for personal pursuits that they have. So you have to take that into account as well. You also have to look at numbers of hours worked. So you can have a full-time employee who's working 40 hours a week. You can have a full-time employee who's working 80 hours a week. And those studies don't take enough of those differences into account. And when you look at the conversation, when you have it started by the advocates of having more government regulation, they start with these faulty numbers. And so right off the bat, you have created this bitterness in this conversation where you wouldn't have it if you looked at more detailed description of it. And particularly, it's fascinating that President Obama was out there talking about this pay gap. But if you look at the female staff employed in his White House, they earn 88 cents on the dollar compared to men employed in his White House. And I think that when we have the person who's out there advocating more government regulation hobbling businesses, he should fix his own problems that he has in his own area that he's responsible for before he goes out and tries to create difficulties for employers. And I think on top of that, anytime you have more government regulation, you are subjecting employers to being open to more lawsuits and fines from the government. And that is just going to make it more difficult for small business owners, a lot of whom are women, to be able to just get out there in this difficult economy and make their companies grow and be able to hire more women and provide more opportunities to people of all ages.
Okay. Gail, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Gail Trotter, again, General Counsel for the Independent Women's Forum. She's also co-founder of Schaefer & Trotter, a law firm that advises entrepreneurs and small businesses. You can join our conversation with a phone call at 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. And Senator Larson, Gemma Waite French, lots of responses from our listeners that I want to share with you. But Gemma, to you, just very quickly on some of the things that Gail brought up, a big concern that, boy, you know, if we put on more regulations on small businesses, on entrepreneurs, you know, it's just more of a hassle and it poisons the atmosphere between male and female workers. I wonder what you think about that. Some real concerns about the impact on businesses.
You know, I think that I think that poisoning the atmosphere between male and female workers, I think whether or not people are voluntarily providing this information about what they make, people in the workplace talk. They talk to one another. Women will know. They'll find out. And then the atmosphere is poisoned anyway. So why not be transparent? Why not be out in the open? Why not share this information and create a pleasant working environment versus creating what Gail had you know, termed a poisonous environment.
Do you want to add on to that, Senator Larson?
Well, clearly, I've worked very hard here in this state and just brought in a bill, in fact, to encourage entrepreneurship. And clearly, we want to promote that and not add undue regulation. I don't believe that it's adding a lot of undue regulation to prohibit contracts that don't permit the discussion of pay and comparison of pay between employees. But I think the point that she made, too, the evidence is even in a female profession, stereotypically female, in teaching, for example, a male teacher makes more than a female teacher for the same years of work. So we see that there is discrimination no matter at what level across the professions, whether they're female-dominated, female gender-neutral environments or male led workplaces, that discrimination and pay inequity exists across the board. So why not make people aware of this and try to bring equality, which, as I said, strengthens our economy and puts that money back into supporting households of equal pay for equal work.
Here's an email that came in from Tracy. She says, I was hired at a job and tried to negotiate to receive a higher starting salary and was told that it was a take-it-or-leave-it situation. I later learned that two of my male coworkers who had started shortly after me in the same position negotiated starting salaries that amounted to about a $5,000 increase over my starting salary. My company also had a strict policy that if people were to discuss their pay, that they would be reprimanded up to termination of employment if they were caught again. She says, I recently relocated back to New Hampshire, making $13,000 less than I was in the Midwest for a job with much more responsibility than my previous position. She's struggling to pay bills as the cost of living in New England is higher than in the Midwest. And Tracy, thank you so much. I wish I knew when this happened, Senator Larson, because I'm wondering if this still happens today. 20 years ago, perhaps, but I'm wondering if this still happens today where the woman is told, take it or leave it, and the men are given $5,000 more as they were in Tracy's situation. Tracy, thanks a lot.
I think it does still happen, and I think that's something which we're trying to, by bringing this issue forward and having a public discussion about it, hopefully we're going to improve that situation.
All right, let's take another call if we could. And Sindifo's calling from Nashua. Hi, Sindifo, you're on the air. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Laura.
Go ahead.
I wanted to comment a little bit about what Gail was saying. I think it's a little bit disingenuous. So I totally appreciate the concern that, you know, women should be able to choose what careers they want to go into, and society value those careers regardless of what they pay. But the difficulty is that, of course, what a profession pays is an expression of how society values or doesn't value what is done in that particular profession. And so when women do go into professions such as caring professions and get paid much less than the kinds of professions than they would do if they were going into the kinds of professions that men go into, that in itself is an expression of devaluation. And so I think for Gail to say, you know, for us to talk about money as though it is the, you know, deciding element of how a profession should be valued or how a person should be valued is the wrong focus. Yes, but we live in an imperfect world, and in the imperfect world that we live in, money is an expression of value.
So you're saying, you know, in addition to focusing on the individual cases, why do these male-dominated professions pay more? Why do these female-dominated professions pay less? Childcare, for example.
Precisely. And so we shouldn't just be talking about, you know, simply the difference in pay that men have. So it seems like what Gail was suggesting is that, you know, even be talking about the difference in pay when we're focusing on what men earn being in professions that pay more and what women earn in professions that pay less, because that suggests that we value what women do enough and we don't value women's choices sufficiently. But I would say that actually we need to be talking about why it is that society pays women, the professions that women are more likely to go into, less than what it pays professions that men go in.
Okay. Sindifo, thank you very much for the call. What do you think about this, Gemma?
I think she's absolutely right. I mean, I think we do devalue some of these professions that women, you know, tend to go into, teaching. And back to what Gail was saying earlier, you know, there's this wage gap that exists. Maybe in fields like teaching and counseling and things like that, the wage gap is smaller. Maybe it's 97 cents to the dollar, or maybe it's, you know, 82 cents to the dollar, whatever we want to say the numbers are. But then you go to those CEO positions, business, law, banking, and you're back to the 72 cents again. So I think she makes a terrific point about what we value in our society. But then again, it's, you know, it's back to the economy. It's back to providing for your family, whether or not you're a single mother, whether or not you're the sole breadwinner or the primary breadwinner in your family. Don't you want to be making the same as your male coworker?
Well, and earlier I read an email from Tracy, and I said that I was curious as to when this happened to her. She just emailed in. Thank you, Tracy. She was hired in November of 2005, relocated to New Hampshire in August of 2014. And we're only in February of 2014, so a little typo there probably. Yeah.
Yeah, and I can tell you that from our listening sessions that these stories exist today. These aren't just stories from 20, 30, 40 years ago. We held these listening sessions with people all over the state, all different age groups from all different segments of industry and business, and they're telling us the same anecdotal stories about making less money than their male counterpart.
All right. Well, and to wrap up with you, Senator Larson, again, you talked about this bill that would allow people to discuss how much they make so that men and women could compare how much they make. We did follow up. The National Labor Relations Board says you can't prohibit discussion. So this bill, what are your thoughts about where it's going to go from here?
Well, as I said earlier, I do think if the state law reiterates and reminds people of their rights, that will only bring improvement to the pay inequality issue. I think we have seen a devaluation of female professions. I think we oftentimes talk about child rearing and child care as one of the most important societal values we hold. But when we come to paying for them, many child care workers are paid minimum wage, and we can go into the whole minimum wage discussion some other day. And how that affects women who mostly are in the minimum wage professions. So I think we do see pay inequality throughout New Hampshire, and I think it's one which, if we talk about it and remind people, even if there's a federal law, we need to reinforce its importance in our state.
Okay, both of you, thank you very much for being here. Senator Larson, good to see you. Thanks for your time.
Nice to see you.
Sylvia Larson, Democratic Senate Minority Leader, longtime state senator from Concord, Gemma Waite French. It was good to meet you. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Gemma Waite French, a member of the board of the New Hampshire Women's Initiative. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producers are Ellen Grimm and Faith Meixel. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our intern is Nate Graby. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Canoy.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
I'm Laura Canoy, and tomorrow on The Exchange, taking the temperature of New Hampshire's economy. Housing's doing well with prices rising. The jobless rate is holding steady at 5.1%, while high energy costs remain a concern. Meanwhile, economic health varies widely by region. And in policy circles, many are still debating why New Hampshire isn't rebounding from recession as quickly as it once did. Send us your thoughts by email, Facebook, and join us for The Exchange tomorrow morning live at 9 and again at 8 p.m. on NHPR.
New Hampshire Public Radio, the Diane Rehm Show, next at 10 o'clock. New Hampshire weather, becoming partly sunny for most of the state today. It'll stay mostly cloudy, slight chance of snow in Hillsborough and Rockingham counties. Today's highs from upper 20s to the mid-30s. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Tarm Biomass in Lyme, supplying high-efficiency wood and wood pellet heating for homes and commercial applications while encouraging the use of local renewable fuel sources. Woodboilers.com.
These are the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio.
WEVO, Concord, 89.1.
WEVS, Nashua, 88.3.
WEVH, Hanover, 91.3.
WEVN, Keene, 90.7.
WEVC, Gorham, 107.1.
WEVJ, Jackson, 99.5.
WEVF, Colebrook, 90.3.
And WEVQ, Littleton, 91.9.
And online at nhpr.org.
It is 10 o'clock.
From WAMU and NPR in Washington, I'm Diane Rehm. The Keystone XL pipeline has cleared a critical hurdle. A long-awaited State Department analysis says The 1,700-mile pipeline probably would not increase the amount of oil removed from the Canadian tar sands. That finding